Welcome, Ominous Archive members. It's Sam here from Scare Me Sam. I see you followed me back down to the library after Nick and Em's most recent fairy episode. Apparently, there was a whole lot of racket going on. They may have spoken about the subject a little bit too loudly. So sit back and let's see what the Ominous Library is begging for us to read now. The daycare was small, but clean. I looked in the mirror and smoothed out my frizzy black hair. I regretted the black shirt I wore because it made me look even paler than I am. I stepped out of my car, making sure not to catch my long skirt in the door as I shut it. I instinctively pulled my hand down to my belly, took a deep breath, and walked inside the front office. A small fairy sun catcher sparkled and twirled as I closed the door. The smell of coffee and lavender wafted through the tiny room. It was filled with happy faces, employees mostly my age, in that in-between time of life where you either start having babies or lock in on a career. Partying was over, so was traveling. Especially for me now. I almost felt guilty for stopping their morning social gathering. "Hi, I'm the new teacher assistant for room 3," I said with a smile. "Oh, hello, you are Clarissa, right?" the girl closest to my age asked, extending her hand to shake mine with a warm smile that radiated genuineness. "Yes, that's me. I probably look a little different in person, but I'm Mal. I did the interview with you, and I am the TA for Room 1, the babies. They sleep a lot, so I occasionally bounce around to help other teachers and TAs. If you need anything, just let me know. Have a good first day," Mal said as she rushed out of the office, coffee and clipboard in her hand. The rest of the teachers smiled with equal affection and headed to their own classrooms. The remaining occupant was a woman in her early 50s, or at least I assumed so by her wrinkled hand that rested on her desk. Her face, however, radiated beauty and youth. Her skin was tight, wonderfully olive and tanned, and her makeup was impeccable. Honestly, she looked more like a model for Vogue than a... "My name is Mrs. Violet. I am the director and owner of Little Souls Daycare." She didn't extend her hand, but instead leaned in to hug me. "It's wonderful to meet you in person," I said. "Yes, I hope your drive from Arizona went well. I can't imagine driving all the way to West Virginia pregnant." There's that instinct again, I thought as I grabbed my stomach. "I spoke to my sister a good part of it. She lives in Japan. Her husband is military. So when I was driving at night, she kept me company since it was daytime where she was. I stammered. "Thank you for giving me the job with me being pregnant and for allowing me to interview remotely. I've been trying to find work for a few months now, ever since my husband passed." I grimaced at that statement. He wasn't dead, but I wish he was. Telling people he was dead was easier than telling the truth. He was an abuser, and his family allowed it. "Oh dear, please don't say more of it. Mal said you were the one we needed. I was a young single mother myself. Raising kids is very difficult. There are a lot of dangers out there. We have to stick together, help each other. We are our own village nowadays." She took the words out of my brain as if she was standing over my cracked skull and examining it. "I won't let you down, Violet. So should I head to room 3? I asked. "Actually, the teacher for room 3 called out today. Her class is small, so it will be joining room 2. The teacher and the assistant there can handle it. I could use your help for something else, though," she said. I noticed she kept one hand tucked beneath her desk as she spoke. "Both of my parents were in the police force before they passed, and they lectured me all the time about people's body language. I noticed Violet's habit of hiding her left hand since she first went in for the hug. And even now, if she handed me keys and paperwork, she kept it tucked close to her side or beneath her desk. Odd." "Sure, anything you need, Miss Violet." I sounded a little too eager to please. "Calm down," I told myself. "You need this job, but don't sound desperate. You are already hired, after all." "We recently had a new child enrolled, and he's having trouble adjusting. His parents are very worried, but we have assured them that we will take very good care of him. He's not ready to socialize with the entire class right now. You'll shadow him for the day and help him integrate. Think of yourself as his buddy," she explained. She led me down a small purple hallway lined with finger paintings. Among the glitter and crayon scribbles were several drawings of winged figures, too many for coincidence, their proportions always a little wrong. One had one leg that stretched far longer than the other. She told me the new child's name was Alexander and it was his second week at the daycare. As she rambled on about him, something tugged at my subconscious, an intuitive notion to leave, to make up some excuse, pack up my things, and head back home to Arizona. But I couldn't go back. Not to him. Not to his family. The moment I saw the child, I felt as if some horrible turning point had just brake-checked my life. He was sitting in a classroom with other kids his age, around 4 going on 5. There were about 5 other children sitting in a circle and listening to the teacher read. The boy was seated by himself in the corner. I squatted next to him, turning to wink at Violet, my attempt to reassure her that she picked the right person for the job. I felt my stomach tense, so I sat in a blue small chair right next to him. His hair was so light it appeared almost white. His eyes were brown, but absent. He wore an oversized plaid shirt and clean jeans. One of his arms seemed just slightly longer than the other and the sleeve hanging lower as if his bones hadn't agreed on a final shape.
"Hi, I'm Clarissa. Violet told me your name was Alexander, right? Do you want to be my friend?"
I threw on my cheesiest smile, but he just stared at me. Then he looked down at my belly, small but just round enough to suspect.
"You looking at my tummy? Well, in case you're wondering, I didn't eat all of the cookies. Do you have any siblings?" I asked, trying to gauge the temperature.
"There is a baby in there, Clarissa," he said, as if he were an adult.
"Who's the daddy?"
She does not have one. Some babies only have mommies.
"Hey, do you want to draw a picture? It looks like everyone else is done reading and painting now. Do you want to move to the painting table with me and try?"
"She is going to be bad, Clarissa," he said, getting up abruptly, as if the conversation had just come to its natural end.
Alexander, wait, buddy, come here. We got to stay put inside the classroom. Do you need to use the potty?"
I stood and reached to gently put my hand on his shoulder in an attempt to redirect him, and he slapped my hand so fast I jumped back.
"Alexander, we are not allowed to hit," the main teacher called out.
"It's okay. I'll give her a hand," Mal offered as she stepped inside the classroom.
"Come with me, Alex. You just need a snack."
She smiled that warm smile at me and guided the boy out.
"Your baby is going to be awful," he said to me, looking at my stomach as if he could see my unborn daughter's future and knew this as fact.
Alexander was picked up early that day. His mother pulled up and she looked like she hadn't slept in at least a week. Her eyes had bags under them and her hair was frazzled and looked gray despite her appearing to be in her late 30s. The whites of her eyes were shockingly red and she was shouting on her phone at someone I could only imagine was her husband as she stormed out of the daycare, tugging Alexander by his shirt. The last thing I heard her say was something about a therapist.
I've sanitized the toys in room 3. Do you need anything else from me before I leave?"
I asked, peeking into the front office at Violet. I felt tightness in my stomach and a pinch in my lower back, and I prayed that that was, in fact, all she needed for the day. I was so ready to go home.
"Yes, dear, that's all. How was your first day?" Violet asked.
"Oh, it was great. I liked everyone I met very much. Seems like a nice place to work," I said through my teeth. The memory of Alexander's last words lingered in my brain.
"Your baby will be awful."
"You did great with Alexander," Mal peeked around the corner. Had she been in the office this entire time? In her hands, she held a small infant.
His mom is a single mom and running late from work. We help each other out around here, so I'm going to hang out with this little man until she can make it."
I can imagine what a relief that is for his mother.
Alexander, he's a bit odd, isn't he? I heard his mom on the phone talking about a therapist. I think that would help. He said some things to me.
You said this change in his behavior is recent?
You know, I was in school to become a child therapist. I'm nearly done with my degree. I may have some techniques that can help him.
I tiptoed around the subject.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be fine. The kids go through a big change at that age. Plus, we all are a little off, aren't we? Violet said, grinning. Mel looked at me with that same smile, rocking the baby faster than I would have liked someone to rock my own. I also noticed then that Mel limped, almost as if one of her legs was longer than the other. I went to hand Violet the last pieces of paperwork I needed to sign and attempt to get her left hand to accept it. Instead, she reached with her right hand, which made the exchange awkward and uncomfortable. I didn't let her see this in my face as I turned and swiftly walked out of the office. This time, their lingering smiles didn't feel warm, almost urgent, like they were trying to get me to leave. I sat in my car and fumbled with my purse. "Damn it," I said out loud. "I forgot my keys inside the office." I walked back towards the entrance. The sun was nearly down, and for February, it was very dark at 6:15. The door was locked, so I knocked, but Violet or Mal was no longer inside the main room. I pressed my face against the window, straining to see in between the white blinds that were nearly shut. "Weird," I said. "Why would they lock the door if the baby's mother still needed to come inside and..." "Violet, Mel, it's Clarissa. I forgot my keys," I shouted. Nothing. Suddenly, I heard a baby's piercing cry. I rushed to the back of the building and peered through a small window facing the playground. This window had curtains instead of blinds, and they were open just enough for me to peek inside. What I saw, I will never forget. Mel, holding the infant straight out in front of her, as Violet stood opposite, naked, with her jaw unhooked and hanging impossibly low, the baby's entire head nesting inside her mouth. Almost with a sucking movement, drool and blood dripped down Violet's chin as the baby screamed and wiggled in Mal's arms. The image was so horrific that I almost didn't see the wings sprouting from Violet's back, flapping orgasmically as she consumed the baby. I screamed and fell back. When I stood, both women were staring right at me. Violet's mouth still dangling open, Mal pulling the infant out of her mouth, so I ran. I ran to the front, jumped in my car, and frantically began looking for my phone. A moment later, a car pulled up. A woman ran towards the office. I jumped out of the car, running after her to stop her from entering. Before I could reach her, Mal walked out smiling, holding the infant. The mother smiled and hugged her, thanking her for her help. The infant was unharmed, fussing but otherwise clean and unscathed. I stared in shock at Mal. "Was I going crazy? Forget something?" she asked as the mother rushed by me, buckling her infant into its car seat and hurrying off. She tossed me my keys. I saw you, and Violet, what the fuck were you doing?" I grasped my belly and poked my keys through my knuckles, ready to strike. "You'll see," Violet said as she came out and stood next to Mal. "But for now, you'll forget." Her left hand dangled at her side, and I could now see her fingers were abnormally long on that hand. Her middle finger stretched wretchedly, almost down to her knee. I got into my car and sped away. With each mile, the horrific day blurred. I gave birth 3 months later. The baby was perfect in every way. She never cried and was always happy. I don't remember labor, I don't remember fear, but I kept getting this feeling that I was forgetting something. Everything changed when my savings fell dangerously low, and I had to go back to work. I had to enroll her into daycare. And then she became irritatingly bad, so fucking awful. Little Soul's daycare was small but clean, and the staff were nice. They had a fairy sun catcher in the window, and the director was kind. The teachers smiled too long, but everyone was friendly, and they took my baby with eagerness. They assured me that she's just going through a change. We all change.